Good morning. Man, it is, as my shirt says, our new Blumont t-shirts, it's a great time to be alive. I've never felt that more. And this past week has been an exciting week. I mean, just the last few days, they're in the midst of the disturbing times that we live in and the disturbing challenges that many of us are going through. God is very present and God is doing good things. And just, I can hardly keep track. Friday, Romaine and Elise got married. Exciting. And they're here. So, along with Romaine's mom and sister. So, if you haven't met them, you gotta say hi to them. And so, man, it was just a great celebration on Friday night. They're coming together. Powerful couple, changing the world. We also, on Friday, this is, I don't know what's gonna happen, but just if you haven't heard, we actually, as a church, made an offer on a church building that we would love to see it come together. So, be praying for that. We haven't heard anything yet, but it's a cool opportunity, and trust in God. What else? Yesterday was Summit in Lawrence. We got together with a bunch of people from our four partner churches across Kansas, and man, the room, I was so encouraged just to be in a room full of high caliber disciples, meaning people that have said yes to Jesus and being all in for him and making a difference in the world and in their vocations and in the culture, and just so encouraging and inspiring. And today, Avery here is getting baptized, so got some of his family here with us. It's, man, we could just go on downstairs now and do that and call it a great day. But I am excited about what we're looking at today, about looking into God's Word. And I think there's a message that's very appropriate for our times and that we need to be understanding. I'm a Kansas kid. I was born in Kansas and lived most of my first 10 years outside the tiny little town of Mayetta, population like 133 or something. It's small. But then when I was 10, my family moved to Taiwan. My parents started working in an orphanage and then doing some other missions work. And I spent most of my next 8 years in Taiwan. And it was interesting. One of the things, I ended up going to international school. And Taiwan was officially at war with China. I think it still is, there's still this Taiwan claims to be the official government of all of China, and China claims to be the official government of Taiwan. And there's this, so the war of ideas is very real. And this was before the internet, back in the last millennium. And our source of news, there was an international, like an English-speaking radio station, but our school library would get American periodicals. And so, I'd go in there and read Sports Illustrated because there was no phone. And so, 6 weeks later, I'd read about what happened in the NCAA basketball world. And it was, but it was like, oh, wow. But also, there were magazines many of you have never heard of, like Time and Newsweek, that talked about what was going on in the world. And oftentimes, if there was an article in Time about China, when it got to our library, there would be pages cut out or words or lines blacked out because everything that came in went through government censors. All the mail came in. There was, I don't even know how, it's crazy to think about the operations of looking at all the mail. But it would be checked. And any mention of China would just be blacked out or cut out because it was not allowed to mention that name or to hear that perspective. And it's really amazing when you study, especially totalitarian regimes in history, how effective propaganda and censorship is. Now, you talk to someone in Taiwan, and their view of China is totally different than what we would have here, and really different from what someone in mainland China would have. You talk to someone in mainland China who's listening to CCTV, and you're like, wow, that is different facts than the facts that I understand to be. It was during my time there that the Tiananmen Square massacre happened in 1990, and where the Chinese government murdered thousands of their own citizens who were protesting and seeking more democracy. And to this day, you can't mention those words in China. There have been protests in Hong Kong, and thousands of people have been in prison and gone to jail because you can't talk about that. And so there's a very intense effort in the world to control the narrative, to control the information that comes to us, to control and influence the ideas that we hear, because whoever feeds the narrative leads the people. Whoever feeds the narrative that we hear leads the people. And this is, you know, it's more obvious in places like communist China. But the last several years have revealed that, wow, this is more of a reality in our culture than many of us realized. You know, just in the last 2 weeks, the CEO of Telegram in France got arrested for his app, you know, allows people to communicate without censorship. And so there were things the government said, hey, that's too dangerous. You're aiding and abetting crime. And so he was in prison for that. What else has happened? There's been more news about accusations of Russian disinformation and collusion. There was an aide to a U.S. senator this past week who was caught with accepting thousands of dollars from the Chinese government. Mark Zuckerberg apologized in the last 2 weeks because of the way that Facebook had been allowing, the way they had controlled what went on Facebook during the pandemic because of pressure from the government. And the war of ideas. And so it's become more evident that even just, oh wow, there are algorithms and the search engines, and there are things. And actually, the media companies are owned by the same people. And there is a limiting of the information that comes to us, but oftentimes we're unaware of it. And I'm not, you know, our goal here is to see that and have our eyes open, but really to take a step deeper, and as we talked about when we kicked off this series, Disciples in Disturbing Times, to see that behind the events of the world today, there are spiritual forces. And there are spiritual powers, and there's a war between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And from the beginning, the way that whether the enemy, whether the devil and his minions seek to rule the planet is through bringing propaganda, bringing false ideas. And the way that God brings his kingdom of freedom and liberation is through the truth. We see in the very beginning when Adam and Eve were seduced, it was through propaganda. It was through deception. It was through lies. The devil said, hey, did God really say this? Oh, that's not true. If you take this fruit, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God. So it's taking God's truth and twisting it and changing the narrative. And so if we want to be free, which I think we all want to be free, it's essential that we're able to filter through all the ideas that come to us, all the thoughts and input and media and all of that, because there is a war. Whoever feeds the narrative leads the people. Jesus was, in John 8:44, he was talking about the devil and talking to some people who actually, they were actually the religious establishment. They were the religious leaders in Israel at the time. And so they were the ones who, okay, they got the truth. But he looked at them and he said this. He said, hey, actually, you are of your father, the devil. Oh, I thought you were the religious leaders. No, actually, you're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Okay, if you want to know one thing about the devil, that's a good starting point. He is a liar. He is the master of speaking lies. And he speaks lies individually to us, through temptation, seduction, also ideas coming to our heads that are not our own, but they're from the enemy. And then he also, because he knows that if he can't, we talked about this at Summit yesterday, that God's plan and the devil's plan is the same. Not exactly, but their means is the same, that they want to rule the earth, and and the only way to rule the earth is through people. And so it's who is aligned with the enemy or who is aligned with God. That is what happens in the world. It doesn't just happen just through these, you know, directly. God has chosen to rule and reign, for people to rule and reign on the earth. So he's a liar. And so we have to look at, like, what are the ideas that I'm thinking? And so often you look at Adam and Eve, that deception is deceptive because it's deceptive. That's deep. But if it was, we're like, oh yeah, that's like so obvious. But no, it's, the devil is really good at lying. And if you've ever been, I feel like I'm a sucker for liars. Like when there's so many, there are a lot of con artists out there, and I've run across a lot of them, and I just like, oh, I know everyone would say this probably seems like it's a con job, but you seem like a believable fellow. You know, I know if I told someone what you were saying about what's going on in your life and why you need money right now, and like that's, but you know, I like you. This seems like you're probably, you know, it's like and that's how deception is. Like it's not obvious. It feels right. It seems right. That fruit was pleasing to the eyes. It tasted good. It seems right. And so there's got to be a better way for us to evaluate and get past that to figure out what's true and not. There's one more verse about the deceiver. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2. It says, you were dead in your trespasses, in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. And it's interesting that the enemy, the devil, is called the prince of the power of the air. And the airwaves, yeah, it's just amazing how much of the propaganda deception comes through the air, you know, and television was a major avenue for false ideas to come to people, and now we got it right here, right? Like, how much is coming into our brains? How much of the air, how much of the airwaves are coming to us? And there is a major battle. There is a major battle for what comes here, because that comes here, and that comes here, and then that comes into our culture. And so there are a lot of lies. We're going to get to the truth. I just want to list out, though, a few. If it's actually quite a good list. We're not going to take time to break them down very much. But these are some of the common deceptions that are very prevalent in our culture that are contradictory to God's truth, contradictory to the truth, contradictory to God's word. Because the devil, he's got, like, if a weapon works, you use it again. The strategy works, you keep coming at it. And these are strategies that have been effective and that are, now they have a foothold in our culture. They're commonly believed. So what are some of these common deceptions? One is hedonism. Not a new idea, but just the love of pleasure. Like, hey, if it feels right, do it. If it brings me pleasure, that's how I want to live. We see that in our culture in gluttony, the whole sexual liberation ideology, how we approach drug use, and so much more. There's so much. It's like, hey, if it feels good, that's how I want to live. Next one's kind of related, materialism. Think of materialism as just like, it starts with the idea that really philosophically that there's nothing beyond this material world. And so out of that, then it's like, okay, well, what? We'll just get the most material, you win. He who dies with the most toys wins. And so you're seeking for fulfillment through money, through stuff, through, and now more than ever before in modern society, consumerism, turning people from image bearers of God into consumers. And there's the devil, there's a great documentary called The Century of the Self. It was done by BBC about 20 years ago. But it talks about how psychology has been used, how governments realized in the 1900s that, wow, if we could just make people consumers, and we can satisfy them and keep them distracted by just getting the next stuff, and they'll be kind of happy, and then they're easier to control, and they're just kind of placated. They're not really fully human, but they're easy to control. And so that consumerism is everywhere. It's in our culture. It's in church culture. It's so widespread. Egalitarianism is an obsession with being equal with everyone else. Or it's really not. It's being equal with people that are doing well, that are perceived to be doing well. It's an egalitarianism laced with resentment, which is a word. Nietzsche described resentment as a hatred for the success of others, motivated by envy. And that is deep in our culture. So we see that it's definitely come into like the whole feminist cause, where God says, hey, men and women are both created in the image of God and are incredibly unique and valuable as men and as women. And they're different. And there's never this like, hey, try to be the same or try to be, it's like you find your value from God, not from how you measure up with the other. But the enemy is like, oh, well, you know, and there's reason. Obviously, men have not done well towards women historically in many, many ways. But then that has been twisted into a sexism disguised as anti-sexism. It's like, hey, we gotta, you know, just be the same. Same, but then now we have racism disguised as anti-racism. It's the, you know, white privilege and white fragility and all these. It's like categorically like, oh, that's the enemy. And we gotta, so we gotta like tear that down. And it's socialism, that's on the list too. But socialism is built upon this. Socialism is built upon having an oppressed class and a class of oppressors. And the way to have to have value is to tear down the oppressors and supposedly make everything evil, but really you're just equal, but you're trying to be, what happens is you become the oppressed class. And there's no God, there's no salvation, there's no forgiveness. It's just we have to tear down the oppressors and try to come up to that. Another common deception, gender confusion. Running, you know, havoc in our culture and really hurting the lives of so many people. Imperialism, one that we as Americans are maybe blind to. But it's the idea that, hey, just we get our significance from being the world power. And we can be blind to the negative effects of concentrated power and the negative effects of warfare, especially. Pantheism, the idea that God is in the world. Everything is a God. That God's in this tree, God's in that grass, God's in that stone. And it's really a lot of the environmental cause is really infected by this spirit of pantheism, of worship the earth. And it's not, hey, the earth is a gift for us to steward and care for and use for God's glory and use well, but it's elevating the environment over everything else. Talk about statism. It's the idea that the state is God. The state is the source of salvation. Is there a problem? Well, the government needs to solve it. That's just the assumption that, well, whatever the problems are, we need a government solution versus a biblical idea, biblically understanding that is, no, Jesus is the Savior, Jesus is Lord, and he works through individuals and through businesses and through families and through governments and through the church. It's all, it's smaller groups from grassroots from the ground up. Transnationalism is a big common deception today that, oh, kind of a one-world government idea. That we need these extra international bodies to settle things for us and have courts, and which is different than God's vision, which, as he told Abraham, that no, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Not that you'll just be one huge international glob, but there are families and nations that have borders and God's purposes for them, and that's what brings human flourishing. And we could talk about transhumanism, which is, you know, Elon Musk is one of the proponents of this, as much as I appreciate some of what he's doing. But it's kind of the, hey, put computer chips in you and your brain can live forever. And it's that whole deception of you won't really die. It's this seeking for immortality apart from God's way. So anyway, there's a lot there. But just want to throw those out there for us just to see and maybe like, hey, maybe I've been infected by some of this. We've all been infected by some of this. But something that's really important we got to understand is that the best way to discern, for people that are looking for counterfeit money, people who are trained to identify counterfeit money, they don't study the hundreds of counterfeit examples out there. They study actual money. They study the truth. They study the real thing. Because if you know the truth, then you can identify the counterfeit. And the truth is powerful. And so while we need to understand the common deceptions, what we really need to know is God's truth. I love what St. Augustine said 1,500 years ago. He said, the truth is like a lion. You don't have to defend it. Let it loose, and it will defend itself. That's the truth. And that is why the enemy so much of this, his strategy is like, hey, keep Christians quiet. Keep Christians nice. Don't say anything. Don't speak up. Because the truth, just be nice. Just be gentle. Those are good, but there has to be the truth. The truth has to come out because the truth is what brings freedom. So our goal is to let the truth out. Where do we find the truth? Where is it? Well, we find the truth in God's word. Find the truth in God's word. But both the incarnate word, which is Jesus. Jesus is the word of God who became flesh. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. The embodiment of truth. The truth is Jesus himself. And so, even as we were worshiping this morning, I was just like, man, this is so awesome because we're proclaiming Jesus is Lord. That is the truth. That truth, that's a primal truth. That we're all, like, we're born to have a Lord. Somebody's got to be Lord. And if we really get that in our hearts, and it comes into our life, that changes everything. Jesus is Lord. He is the King. He is the ruler of all. He is the one that we're called to serve and bow down to. As we were worshiping, I thought of the verse in Psalm 139. David said, you desire truth in our innermost parts. I was thinking about that. Like, okay, the truth, Jesus is Lord. It's not just this idea, but it's to get in our life. You know, as Avery's getting baptized here today, you know, he's saying, hey, I am saying yes to Jesus as my Lord. And it's not just this little religious ceremony, but it's that he can come and rule every part of my life. That he can change my thoughts. He can change my motivations. He can come to war against my selfish desires. He can come to war against my ideas that are different than his. But he can come and rule and be my Lord and then bring me into his righteousness and his peace and his joy. And that's the truth. So Jesus is the truth. And then his written word, the Bible. We have this incredible objective standard of truth, the Bible. In John 8:31 and 32, we read, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes. And here we are, disciples in a disturbing world. How do we live as disciples in a disturbing world? If you abide in my word, if you live in my word, you will be my disciples, and that truth will set you free. That's so good. Abiding is more than passing familiarity. Abiding is more than hearing something, but abiding is absorbing. It's drawing our life from it. Abiding is what a lot of most of us naturally do with this thing. We're like abiding in Instagram. Like there's a lot of abiding in Instagram happening. It's, this is feeding. It's what you're looking to feed your mind, what you're looking to feed your soul, what you're looking to, and it frames your thoughts and your beliefs. It's a lot of times people are like, man, I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't know, how do I fit that into my life? Well, you got a lot of time for this. We got a lot of time for other media intake. It's the same realization, like, oh, man, I got to get God's word. I gotta get God's word. That's something powerful about as we come together, as we worship, as we hear the word preached, God's word comes to us. But then as we go in our own life and we're on a regular basis opening the Bible, saying, God, speak to me. I need you to retrain my thinking. I need you to retrain my mind. Speak to me. I love what God told Joshua in Joshua 1 as he was beginning his calling to go and lead the people of Israel. He said, be strong and courageous and you'll take this land. But before you do that, you got to meditate in my word day and night. Don't let this word depart from your mouth. Meditate on it. Think about it. Speak it. Get it in you. And then you'll be successful. You'll have great success. And the same is true for us. And so for our own lives, Jesus said, he quoted Deuteronomy where God said, told his people that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. As I get up in the morning and read the Bible, there's something, it's a meal. It's doing something in my spirit. It's doing something in my soul. Getting full. My mind is being changed. And that's for our own just energy and life and vitality. We got to have that. And then if we want to bring God's truth into the world, we really got to have it. Because the Word of God is a blueprint, not only for our own lives, but for all of society. It tells us how things should work, how governments should work, how families should work, how we should handle our money, how we should treat our neighbors, every part of it. I remember during COVID, when the lockdowns were happening, and I was thinking about, okay, this seems like a dangerous disease. People are dying. I want to be considerate. But, man, is this like the right way to like avoid human contact and not be around people and for businesses to shut down? And I thought about, well, okay, this is addressed in Leviticus. There are laws in the Bible for God's people for how to handle infectious diseases that are serious, that could cause death. And, okay, what does that say? Well, there is quarantining, but it was only quarantining of the sick. And it was only with really serious diseases, too. That's another issue. But it was only quarantining of the sick, not people who might have had contact with them at some point. So it's like, this is an overreach. This is harmful to society. This is harmful to our economy. This is harmful to our relationships. This is not following God's pattern because it's going too far. And so that's just one example. As we dig into God's Word, whatever your calling is, if you're a teacher or called to be an economist or run a business or a scientist or an engineer, God's Word has insight. And your calling is to read through the Bible with those lenses. Okay, what does God's Word have to say about my calling? How do I be a salesman? And what does God's Word say? And then bring that into your life and all of life. So we find the truth in God's Word. We also find the truth through the Holy Spirit. It's very important that the Word and the Spirit go together. Jesus said in John 16:13, he said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, "He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." This is often the missing key. There's an old saying that says, hey, if you're a Christian and if you have the Word without the Spirit, you dry up. If you have the Spirit without the Word, you blow up. Some of us have met some of those Christians. They've got lots of Spirit, but they're not grounded in the Word, and they blow up. But if you have the Spirit and the Word, you grow up. The Spirit and the Word are supposed to go together. And the Holy Spirit is the one who illuminates the Bible to our mind. The Holy Spirit, it's not just like our natural mind, okay, I can understand this, but no, as we're reading the Bible, it's, God, would you reveal things to me? Holy Spirit, would you show things? Show me understand your truth. I remember, I'll just read this, that it's amazing how much of American Christianity is Christianity that is not considering inviting the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and fill us and lead us. In the book of Acts, which was the early church, there was this time, in Acts 19:2, where the Apostle Paul came to a new place, and they believed in Jesus, and he said, hey, and they'd been baptized in water. And he said, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? And they're like, no one even told us there is a Holy Spirit. What is this Spirit you talk about? And that's so often the case here today, that we have the Word, but we don't have the Spirit. And I know in my own life, I was 18 years old when I really got desperate to have more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I was like, God, I see people who are living with a power and a revelation in their life. I want that. And I started praying and seeking God for that and started experiencing more of God's presence and more spiritual gifts. But one of the amazing things was that I would just be walking around my college campus, and I would just be like having new thoughts from God all the time. It was just like this download of new ideas, like my mind was awakened. There was revelation happening. Something was awakened as I was opening up to the Spirit. Truth was coming in like I'd never experienced before. And I'd been a Christian for several years. I was like, wow, this is different. And then my hunger for the Bible just took off. It was like, I knew the Bible was good, and I'd read it some, but it was like something was like, oh my goodness, this is, I gotta read this, I'm gonna get up early, I'm gonna find a way. Like, I would just started spending much more time in the Bible because there was something that the Spirit was drawing me towards that truth. And so we find the truth through the Word and the Spirit coming together. Ephesians 1, Paul prays for the believers in Ephesus, and he says, I'm praying for you that the eyes of, that you would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. We need the Spirit of God to come to us. The Spirit of God that brings wisdom and revelation, enlightening our eyes. And that delivers us from the delusions, the deceptions that we're in. And then the third thing, last thing I want to hit on. We find the truth in the Word. We find the truth in the Holy Spirit. We find the truth in the church. Wow. Crazy idea, I know. In 1 Peter 3:15, Paul says that the church, says, in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one should act in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Oh, the church is the pillar and support of the truth, which should seem obvious, right? Like churches is where you preach the Bible and teach people how to live, and we're learning, we're basing our lives on God's word. But it's a, in Manhattan today, about 70% of people identify as Christians, upwards of 70%. About 10% go to church. And that's normal in America. It's this whole idea of, hey, I like God, I believe in Jesus, but I don't need the church. And that's a dangerous place to be, because any of us on our own, with just me and Jesus, we get easily led astray. And man, I'm so thankful that so much of how the truth has come into my life is, yes, it's through reading the Bible, yes, it's through the Holy Spirit, and it's also through other people. It's through seeing them live it out. It's through hearing them speak about what God's showing them. It's about them looking at me and going, hey, dude, you're really thinking weird right now. You're weird. Like, I'm like, what? That seems really perfectly normal. And they're like, no, you're weird. And like, oh, okay, you're right. And as we interact with people, that's as God's people, as we're living in community and around, that God changes us and the truth comes into our life and it gets into our innermost parts. There's a reason that the enemy wants to separate people from the church, wants to separate people from his community. And that's so easy. Proverbs says that, I think it's Proverbs 19:1, says that the one who separates or isolates himself seeks his own desire. And it's easy to do. But if we're seeking God's kingdom, then we find that in relationships. We find that in the church. I've started reading this book recently. It's interesting. As the devil has tried to infiltrate so many places, he infiltrates media, he infiltrates government. He knows the church is essential, and he's also tried to infiltrate the church. And this is a great read, very timely in these disturbing times. Shepherds for Sale just came out, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. And this goes in showing how there was an intentional effort to infiltrate churches with a worldly view about LGBT, about critical race theory, about environmentalism, about in the COVID times. It wasn't just in the media and the government, but directly in the church, there was an intentional effort. And many churches even have been led astray because they weren't grounded with the Word and the Spirit and historical Christianity. And so, but it's because the enemy knows, man, the church is so important. And we need that to be in the truth. So, all right. Lies, propaganda, and the truth. It's wild that God has called us to be people who are in the truth, and it's to be disciples in disturbing times who then learn God's word, apply it to our lives, and then we can bring it to the world around us. We can speak. We can release that lion and let it make a difference. It's amazing how sometimes just one sentence, one thing that counteracts what people are hearing, it sets them free. It's so powerful. And as every one of us who are believers, God has given us that authority to bring that about. So what do we do with this? Before I do that, I just want to just ask briefly. It's always a risky deal. Is there one or two questions about anything that I'm saying here today? Not to get in the weeds on any specific issue. We are going to talk about more issues in the next, some more issues like economics and politics, health in the next few weeks. But are there any questions before we wrap up? All right, great. Well, what do we do with this? So I want to give you just three action steps. One, commit to a plan of absorbing and applying God's word. If God's word is truth, what's your plan? Are you going to absorb it? Are you going to apply it? What does that look like for you? That should involve personal time of reading the Bible. We got KL1 books that are great tools for that. Love to help you with that if you're doing that, and other resources. Learning, coming around, community, of applying God's word. Another action step, ask for more of the Holy Spirit's presence and guidance. God, I want more of you in my life. Holy Spirit, I want more of you. Lord, would you fill me? Would you baptize me? Would you come in my life in power and guide me? Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to lead me into the truth. And then three, discern the truth in the church. Be part of the church. Be in relationship. Be taking that to a level where you are letting the truth come and shape your life so that you can be changed, you can be free, and you can be a conduit of that truth in the world. So, praise God. Let me just pray for us, and we'll wrap up with that. Lord, thank you for your truth. Thank you that your truth is powerful. It changes lives, it changes our lives, it changes the culture. Thank you that you're not intimidated, but this is a great time to be alive and a great time to be walking in the truth. Lord, I just pray that you would help each of us to walk more fully into that. We trust you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.